welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. If you've not already, I encourage you to pick up your copy of All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo and its sequel ebook, All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet. In these ebooks, I examine the careers and histories of seven great fictional detectives and policemen, as well as life lessons that can be learned from their adventures. The ebooks are available wherever fine ebooks are sold, or also as audiobooks through audible.com or the iTunes Store. And you can find all my books, audiobooks, and ebooks at store.greatdetectives.net. Well, we are returning to Nick Carter, Master Detective, aka the greatest of all manhunters, for some newly discovered episodes, and we're going to start out in the Nick Carter serial era. For almost the entirety of its 12-year run on the air, Nick Carter was a half-hour, self-contained program. However, from April to September of 1944, Nick Carter was a serialized program. When I first started doing the Nick Carter series on Great Detectives, no episode of the Nick Carter serials was actually circulating. In that middle of that run, there were several episodes from the serial era that came into circulation. Most were one-off episodes of serials, so you didn't actually have a complete story. We did actually have 4 of 6 episodes of the serial, The Accidental Bullet, come out, and we played those. Now we have an additional serial where we actually have 8 of the 9 episodes, so it's a more complete serial than The Accidental Bullet. Now, as is usual, when we're doing serials, we'll bring you 2 episodes per week, so let's go ahead and we will get started. The original air dates on our program are April the 17th and April the 18th of 1944, and the title is Kidnap for Sale Parts 1 and 2.
It's a case for Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Yes, it's a case for that most famous of all manhunters, the detective whose ability at solving crime is unequaled in the history of detective fiction, Nick Carter, Master Detective.
Beginning the curious adventure called Kidnapped for Sale, for Nick Carter and the mystery of the missing babies.
I must see Mr. Carter at once.
I'm sorry, but he isn't here just now.
But I must see him. Isn't there any way you can get in touch with him?
No, but I expect him back any minute now. Wouldn't you care to wait, Mrs.?
Anders, Mary Anders. He's got to help me. He's just got to.
Don't worry, Mrs. Anders. I'm sure he will. I'm Patsy Bowen, Mr. Carter's secretary. Don't you want to tell me what's wrong?
It's my baby.
Oh, there, Mrs. Anders. Please don't cry. I'm sure everything will turn out all right. Now, why don't you start from the beginning and tell me what's happened?
All right. My husband is a defense worker in the South. A few weeks ago...
Oh, that must be Mr. Carter now. Oh, Nick?
Hello, Patsy. Oh, so you have a visitor.
This is Mrs. Anders, Nick. She's in trouble, and she's come to you for help.
Well, I'll be glad to help you if I can, Mrs. Anders. Just what is the trouble?
Well, as I told your secretary, my husband is a defense worker who has a temporary job in the Texas oil fields... Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, I received a letter saying he was seriously ill. Naturally, I was frantic and wanted to go to him at once, but I couldn't take my baby with me. He's only 8 months old, and there wouldn't be any place for him in the town where my husband works.
I see. So what did you do?
Well, I had no relatives to leave the baby with, so I looked around for a nursing home that could take care of him while I was gone, but they were all jammed to overflowing and couldn't board my baby. When the 4th nursing home turned me down, I was ready to give up. Just as I was leaving the building, a man carrying a medical bag spoke to me.
Pardon me, I couldn't help overhearing your conversation with the clerk at the reception desk. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Dr. Arnold. I'm on the medical board of this nursing home, and...
Well,
I saw how disappointed you were when the clerk told you that they had no room for your baby.
Oh, I'm at my wit's end, Doctor. I've simply got to find a place to leave him. My husband is seriously ill, and I must go to him.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, perhaps I can help you, Mrs. Anders. Have you ever thought of leaving your child in private care?
In private care? I don't know anyone in this city.
Well, it just happens that I know a couple whom I'm sure would be glad to take care of your child.
Oh, but I wouldn't want to leave my baby with strangers.
Oh, I think that if you met this couple, you'd feel differently about it. Recently, they lost their own child, and I rather think they'd be very happy to take care of yours if you'd permit them to.
If I could only be sure they'd give him the right kind of care.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Now, this couple's name is Gilbert. Mr. Gilbert has an office in the Stanley Building. Why don't you bring your child to his office tomorrow morning about 10 o'clock? I'll arrange to have his wife there at the same time. You can talk with them and then decide whether you'd like to let them take care of your baby.
It can't do any harm to talk to them, see what they're like.
Splendid. Here, now I'll write Mr. Gilbert's address on this card. There. Oh, I'm sure you'll like them, Mrs. Anders.
I hope so, Doctor. Thank you for your kindness.
Not at all, Mrs. Anders. These days, it's up to people to help each other. Well, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 10.
And did you keep the appointment, Mrs. Anders?
Yes, I did, Mr. Carter. Dr. Arnold and his friends were there waiting for me.
Ah, good morning, Mrs. Anders. Allow me to introduce Mrs. Gilbert and Mr. Gilbert.
How do you do?
Hello, Mrs. Anders.
My dear, I'm so happy to meet you. And I presume this is the baby?
Yes, Mrs. Gilbert.
Oh, he's beautiful.
Say, he is a good-looking baby, isn't he?
Martin, be careful. You wake him.
Oh, he's a very sound sleeper.
Do you think I might hold him?
Of course. Here you are, Mrs. Gilbert.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's like holding my own little boy. Will you let me take care of him while you're gone, Mrs. Anders? I promise I'll look after him just as though he were my own.
What, Mrs. Gilbert, I...
Please say you'll let me take care of him for you.
Well... When Dr. Arnold just spoke to me about leaving him with strangers, I didn't like the idea, but now that I've met you, I can see you're the kind of people who love children.
Oh, Mrs. Anders, I assure you he'll receive the very best of care.
Why, of course he will. We have a lovely nursery at home. We give him everything he wants.
Well, I was certain that you people would like each other. I'm glad to see that everything is settled.
Oh, but we've said nothing about paying for his board.
Oh, we wouldn't dream of asking anything for taking care of him. We're doing it just because we want to.
Why, of course. We won't hear of such a thing.
Oh, you're both very kind. I only hope that someday my husband and I will be able to repay you.
Well, what train are you taking, Mrs. Anders?
Well, I want to make the train that leaves at noon.
Oh, you'll have to hurry then.
But I'm sure you want to kiss your son goodbye, Mrs. Anders.
Goodbye, darling. Mother's going to miss you dreadfully, but she'll soon be back for you, just as soon as she can. Then, Mr. Carter, I left for Texas. When I reached my husband, I found he was much better than I'd expected. I spent 2 weeks with him, and by that time, he was well enough so I could come back. I got in just an hour ago.
I see.
Have you seen your baby yet?
No. I went to Mr. Gilbert's office the first thing to tell him I was back and wanted my baby. When I entered the office, Mr. Gilbert wasn't there, but Dr. Arnold was.
And what did Dr. Arnold say when you told him you'd come for your son?
He told me that he'd never seen me before, that he knew nothing whatever about my baby.
What?
At first I thought he was joking, but he wasn't. He denied ever having seen me or my baby.
And what happened then?
I asked to see Mr. Gilbert, but he said there wasn't anyone by that name there. I pleaded with him to give me back my baby, but he kept insisting he didn't know what I was talking about. Mr. Carter, what can I do? How can I get my baby back again?
Oh, baby, Mrs. Anders, please. I'm sure everything's going to be all right.
Mrs. Anders... I'm afraid you've been made a victim of a new and vicious racket. That of selling babies.
Nick?
Yes.
Selling babies?
Yes, selling babies. You see, these days, a great number of people are eager to adopt babies. But there are comparatively few available for adoption. As a result, there are many people who are willing to pay $1,000 or more for a child. This has brought into being a new type of criminal. One who deals in selling babies.
But, Nick, where do they get these babies? You mean they steal them?
Yes, Bessie, that's exactly what I mean. These unscrupulous men are all over town on the lookout for women who under emotional stress, we'll part with their babies.
But Mr. Carter, Dr. Arnold looked so respectable, and well, he said that he was connected with that nursing home.
Without going any further, Mrs. Anders, I can assure you that he isn't a doctor at all. But is merely posing as one.
What?
That's part of a scheme to get babies from their mothers. And the nursing home is one of the places where he makes his contacts. But
then you mean this man Arnold has sold my child to the Gilbert couple?
No, Mrs. Anders, not to them, as they're undoubtedly part of his gang. No, the Gilberts will pose as the legitimate parents of your baby and will sell her to another couple who are eager to adopt a child.
But, Mr. Carter, if this man Arnold gets away, I may never find my baby again.
Now, Mrs. Anders, don't worry, please. I'll do my best to recover your child for you. Up to now, I've been unable to take any action against these unscrupulous gangsters because I have never been able to get any really concrete evidence against them. But in your case, there's no question about it.
But what are you going to do, Mr. Carter?
Well, our first move will be to go down to that office and see this man, find out what he has to say for himself. And we better hurry, because he won't waste any time clearing out now that he knows you're back.
Shall I go with you, Mr. Carter?
No, Mrs. Anders, I want you to go home and rest.
All right. You will let me hear from you soon.
Why, certainly I will. Just as soon as I can tell you something definite.
This building gives me the creeps, Nick. So old and dark.
Yes. The type building that houses mainly fly-by-nights and other shady enterprises. Only hope we aren't too late.
Fourth floor, please.
This is it, Patsy. Room 412.
Nick, there's a light in the office.
Yes. Well, here goes. Good evening.
Oh, I'm afraid you have the wrong office.
No, I don't think so, Mr. Arnold.
Nick, he's packing everything in that briefcase.
Yes, I see.
What do you want?
Arnold, I represent Mary Anders, whose child you took a little more than 2 weeks ago.
Mary Anders? I don't know anyone by that name. And what would I want with a child?
I think you know what I'm talking about. And I want that baby back.
I don't know what you're talking about. Why are you staring at me like that?
Arnold, I never forget a face. And I'm sure I've seen your face somewhere before.
That's nonsense. I never saw you before in my life. Now, kindly get out of here and let me finish
my... Yes. Now I remember you. 10 years ago, September 1934, you were convicted of blackmail and sent up the river for 5 years. And I supplied the evidence that clinched the case.
So you're the guy I've got to thank for that stretch. Oh, then you must be Nick Carter. The cops told me he was the one that pinned it on me.
Right, Arnold. And if you don't turn the Anders baby over to me at once, I'll make it my business to see that you go back for a real stretch this time.
Oh, yeah? Carter, I've been waiting a long time to pay you back what I owe you. This is one time you ran into more than you bargained for. Okay, Dutch.
I'm right behind you, Carter, so you and your girlfriend better get your hands up fast.
Nick, look out.
Make a move for your gun, I'll blast you. Yeah, it's better.
This isn't going to help you any, Arnold.
No, we'll see about that. Got his gun, Dutch?
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Carter, you're going to get what you should have gotten years ago. It's too bad the girl has to be in on it, too.
Shall I let him have it, Arnold?
No. Gun might bring the night watchman. We want to do everything on a quiet basis.
Let my secretary go, Arnold. She had nothing to do with sending you up.
I'm afraid I couldn't do that. She knows too much now.
What are you going to do with us?
Do you see that vault in the wall over there?
Yes.
Well, up to now, I've never had anything that I wanted to put into it. Now, I think I have.
Say, that's a great idea, Doc.
Yes. It's a beautiful vault. Fireproof, waterproof, and airtight. You and your charming companion, Mr. Carter, won't last very long in there.
Nick.
Steady, Betsy.
All right. Start moving, you two, and no funny business, or you get it in the back. Go on. Get in that vault. Ladies first, Carter.
You know you'll have to pay for this, Arnold.
Maybe, and maybe not. Well, Mr. Carter, it's been most pleasant knowing you two. Goodbye.
Nick, there's not much room in here, is there?
No. Wait till I turn on my flashlight. There.
Well, this vault is hardly big enough to turn around in. Well, Nick, the oxygen will be gone in no time.
Now, Patsy, you mustn't get excited. It just uses up the oxygen that much faster.
We've got to get out of here quick. It'll only be a matter of minutes.
Take it easy, Patsy. Take it easy. Let's see how solid these walls are. Yeah, they're solid, all right. Must be a foot thick.
Even if we called for help, it wouldn't do any good. No one could hear us.
The floor is solid, too. The vault's completely empty. Nothing we could use to help us get out.
Nick, the air's getting close already. What are we going to do?
I don't know, Patsy. But there has to be some way out of this vault.
Well, if you don't find it soon, it'll be too late. Nick, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I feel as if
Now, easy, Patsy. Don't let it get you.
I can't get my breath, Nick. I can't breathe.
Patsy, listen to me. Breathe deeply.
All right, Nick.
That's it. You're more frightened than anything else. The air isn't going yet.
You're right, Nick. I'm sorry I let myself go that way.
That's the girl. Now, let's see. There must be some way out of this vault. There's got to be.
How much time have we got, Nick?
I should say the air in here ought to last us about 10 minutes.
That isn't very long, is it?
No, it isn't. But I hope we'll be out by that time. The walls are all solid. Floor solid, too. Look at the ceiling. It's solid, too. Patsy, look.
I don't see anything.
There's an automatic sprinkler nozzle set on the ceiling in case of fire.
Oh, yes, I see it now.
Patsy, that sprinkler may get us out of here.
Get us out?
Yes.
Nick, how?
If I hold a lighted match under the nozzle, the heat will set off the automatic sprinkler system in this vault. Oh. In some place in the building, an alarm will go off, and it'll bring help in no time.
Oh, but, Nick, my new hat will get soaking wet.
Patsy, it's better than suffocating. Let's see, where are my matches?
You got them?
Yeah, no, strike one. There. Now, if I stand on my toes, I can just reach the sprinkler nozzle. Yeah, there. Just have to hold the match to it long enough for it to heat up.
How long will it take?
Oh, just a few seconds. And it should...
Oh, Nick, the water's cold.
Yes, Patsy, but listen. You can hear the alarm ringing somewhere in the building.
Yeah, I hear it. How long would it take for them to find it?
Only a few minutes, Patsy. The indicator on the sprinkler system will show them the troubles on this floor. They'd have no difficulty tracing us down from there.
Oh, Nick.
What is it, Patsy?
The water, it's up to my ankle.
Well, I know. The vault's airtight, and that means it's also watertight.
But, Nick, it's rising so fast.
I know, Patsy, but it was either this or suffocation.
But, Nick, suppose nobody finds us until the water's over.
Steady, Patsy, steady. All we can do now is wait and hope.
You, Arnold.
Yes, Chief. I understand you wanted to see me.
Yes, I do. Sit down.
Thanks, Chief.
Listen, Arnold. During the past few months, I've built this baby-selling racket up to a point where we're making $1,000 out of it. And we've got customers for every baby we can lay our hands on.
I know, Chief. I've been doing my best to get more of them.
Yes, so I understand. Weren't you instructed never to take a baby unless the mother signed it over to you so the police would have nothing on us?
Oh, that's what I've been doing, Chief.
Yes. And what's this I hear about the Anders woman? Huh? Did you get her to sign a release?
Well, no, Chief, but it wouldn't have worked in her case.
You fool, you should have let her alone then.
I know, Chief, but I had a customer who was willing to pay $3,000 for a baby boy like hers now. I couldn't pass up money like that, could I?
Do you know that the Anders woman went to Nick Carter for help?
Yes, I know that, but...
You crazy fool!
But, Chief...
Do you know what it'll mean if Carter decides to investigate our business?
But, Chief, Nick Carter isn't going to do any more investigating, ever.
What do you mean?
A little while ago, he came to my office in the Stanley Building. Before he could start anything, Dutch and I took care of him.
You mean you got rid of him?
Sure. Dutch and I locked Carter and his secretary in the office vault. Oh, they couldn't have lasted more than 10 minutes in that vault. It's airtight.
You're sure they won't get out? Carter's no fool.
Oh, neither am I, Chief. That vault is fireproof and airtight.
Nick Carter dead. Sounds unbelievable.
He's dead, all right, Chief. And I cleaned everything out of the office, too. The police can't trace a thing to us. I didn't leave a thing behind.
Good. You better have your apartment cleaned out, too.
All right, Chief.
I only hope you're right about getting rid of Carter. He was the one man who could have ruined everything for us.
Well, of course I'm right, Chief. From now on, you can forget about Nick Carter. He finally walked into something that was more than he could handle.
Someone come. The water's up to my waist.
I'm certain that by this time the alarm's been heard.
Then where are they? At the rate the water's rising, the boat will be full in a few minutes.
Steady, Patsy. You mustn't lose your nerve.
But, Nick...
Perhaps if I rap with my flashlight on the door, it'll attract somebody's attention.
If there's anyone out there to hear it...
Well, that's what I'm hoping, Patsy.
Nick, maybe there isn't anyone in the building. Maybe nobody heard the alarm.
Patsy, you're forgetting the elevator operator brought us up. Then I heard Arnold say there was a night watchman. I'll try rapping again.
Who's there?
Oh, Nick, thank heaven someone's out there.
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yes, I hear you. Where are you?
We're locked up in the vault.
Did you say locked in the vault?
Yes. See if you can open it.
What are you doing in there?
We're locked in. See if you can open the vault door.
Oh, all right. No, can't open it. It's locked and I don't know the combination.
Oh, Nick.
Hold it, Patsy. If you do what I say, I think you can get it open.
Yeah, but I don't know nothing about safe. I better call the police.
No, wait. By the time you get the police, we'll be dead.
What are you going to do, Nick?
If I were on the outside of the safe, Patsy, I could open it by turning the dial and listening to the clicks of the combination. I've done that often enough before. But locked in here the way we are, I'm going to let him turn the dial while I listen for the clicks of the tumblers.
Nick, that's a wonderful idea, but hurry.
What do you want me to do?
Now listen carefully. Turn the dial of the safe slowly to the right. When I hear the tumblers fall, I'll tell you to stop. You understand?
No. Don't make sense to me.
Will you please do as I say to save our lives?
Oh, yes, I guess so.
All right. Now start turning the dial slowly to the right.
To the right. All right. Yes, I'm doing it.
Keep turning. Stop.
What do I do now?
Start turning the dial slowly to the left.
To the left, yes. All right. Here we are.
Stop!
Oh, hurry, Nick, hurry.
All right. What next?
Now start turning the dial slowly to the right.
Okay. I'm turning it.
A little more.
Oh, Nick.
Stop! All right. Now turn the handle of the vault.
What'd you say?
Try the handle of the safe.
Oh, all right.
Oh, Nick, he can't open it.
He's got to. Or maybe he's turning it the wrong way. Listen, turn the handle the other way and pull.
Yes, all right, the other way.
Oh, Nick, we're safe.
Yes, and not a minute too soon.
What are you two doing in that vault? Who are you?
I'm Nick Carter. Afraid we haven't got time to explain. Oh, by the way, have you seen Arnold, the man who rents this office?
Arnold?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Carter. I saw him and another man leave a little while ago. I had a couple of bags with him.
From the looks of things, he's cleaned out the office thoroughly.
I gotta go and turn off that sprinkler. It'll be flooding the place if I don't. If you folks want me, I'll be in the basement.
All right. Oh, and thanks for what you've done.
Well, I should say so. You saved our lives.
Oh, that's all right, folks. But if I was you, I wouldn't go getting locked in that vault again.
Don't worry. Get you in trouble. We won't. All right now, Patsy. Let's look over the office.
Oh, Nick, I'm sorry.
There's always a chance that Arnold may have left something behind.
All right, but there isn't much to look over.
Well, see if you can find anything. Anything at all. The most trivial object may give us a lead.
Well, there's nothing in this closet at all.
Hey, this looks as if it might give us a clue.
Well, what's that, Nick?
This newspaper I found in the wastebasket.
How is that a clue?
You notice the top of the front page of this paper? See what's been written on it?
Why, it's just the number and the letter 3D written in pencil.
Exactly. Usually done by delivery clerks in apartment houses.
Mm-hmm.
Patsy, unless I'm mistaken, this paper is delivered every morning to someone who lives somewhere in apartment 3D.
Why, of course.
I have a hunch that we'll find Arnold lives in apartment number 3D. All right, let's look through this desk. Perhaps you'll find something else.
Oh, there's nothing in this drawer.
No, nor in this one either.
There's nothing in this but some packs of matches.
Let's see, what's... Did you say packs of matches?
Yes, Nick, here they are. Five packs.
Let's see them. Uh-huh. All of them advertise the Edgewood Arms. That's an exclusive apartment house, not far from here.
Nick, you don't think that...
Patsy, I have a hunch that Arnold lives in apartment 3D at the Edgewood Arms. Come on, let's find out if my hunch is right.
Well, this is 3D, Nick.
Yes, and here's Arnold's name on the door. Mm-hmm, my hunch was right. All right, ring the bell, see if anyone's home.
Doesn't seem to be anyone in.
Well, this lock doesn't look as though it'll be too difficult to pick. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Here we are. Come in, Patsy.
Okay.
I'll turn on the lights.
Looks as though he'd clean this place out, too. He's a fast worker, that guy.
Yeah. Afraid he's come and gone. Looks as if he burned some papers up before he cleared out.
Hmm.
There are ashes in the fireplace.
Do you think they're of any value?
It's hard to tell. I'll put them in this little box. I'll examine them later at my laboratory.
Well, there's nothing at all over here in this desk. It's been cleaned out completely.
Now, wait a minute. Have you turned on this table lamp? Perhaps you can see better.
Nick, what is it?
Patsy, this lamp is still warm. Someone was in this room just a few minutes ago.
Oh, you don't suppose he's still here, do you?
I don't know. There's only one way to find out.
Nick, did you hear that?
Yes. Someone's opened a window in the next room. Patsy, stay here. I'm going to find out who it is before he gets away.
Oh, but, Nick, you haven't got a gun.
I'll have to take my chances, Patsy.
Oh, but, Nick, you may... Nick!
This certainly is one case in which Nick is having difficulty finding clues. At every turn, someone seems to be ahead of him, destroying the evidence. The recovery of the missing baby, which was apparently stolen by a new and particularly vicious criminal gang, seems to be as far away as ever. And now, Nick unarmed is walking into the fire from a blazing gun in the hand of an unseen killer. The answer to the riddle may depend on who is doing the shooting and why. Listen tomorrow. In the strange adventures of Nick Carter, Master Detective, Nick Carter is impersonated by Lon Clark, Patsy by Helen Choate. The stories are written by Bob Arthur and David Cogan. Original music is played by Lou White. The entire production is under the direction of Jock McGregor. Tomorrow night at the same time, listen to the further adventures of Nick Carter in the case entitled
Kidnapped for Sale, or Nick Carter and the Mystery of the Missing Babies.
The Return of Nick Carter, a copyrighted feature of Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated, is produced in the studios of WOR and is broadcast over most of these stations, Mondays through Fridays, at 9:15 p.m. Eastern War Time. And don't forget, the adventures of Nick's adopted son, Chick Carter, are broadcast over most of these stations Monday through Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern War Time. This is Mutual.
This is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at otrwesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Nick showed his calmness and coolness, as well as that desire to do whatever it takes to get something done, even if what his plan is on its face a bit reckless. Although I have to say that for an airtight safe, the guard could sure hear Nick pretty well. However, that seems like a big plot hole. Keep in mind that this is still better than the 1940s Batman and Robin serial, where Batman was able to escape from the safe with a blowtorch that he supposedly had hidden, which couldn't have been hidden on his person and was too big to be in the utility belt. And he had the blowtorch at the start of the new episode, even though not having it in the previous episode. So keep in mind, it could be worse. Overall, it's a pretty compelling and interesting topic, and I really do like the sound we have on these episodes so far. So can't wait till next week when we'll bring you the next part of the serial. It'll be parts 3 and 5, as part 4 is the missing episode. Okay, well, in the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.